Ecclesiastes, we're going to start in chapter number 1. The last time we talked about the generations and how important it is that we invest in the next generation, not in the generation that we're involved in, but the generation that is to follow us. And we saw that in verse number 4 of chapter 1. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, and the importance of that. This morning, we're going to talk about under the sun, under the sun. And we're going to kind of do a little study here. We'll jump through the book of Ecclesiastes, look at several verses here, and draw some truths out of that. So we're going to start in chapter number 1. We'll just read the first three verses here again. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, verse number 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Israel. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? All right, let's pray, and then we're going to look at the topic of the sun, or under the sun, specifically in the book of Ecclesiastes this morning. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the sun this morning, the sun that rose and is warming things up even now. And Lord, thank you for that, just your faithfulness that's new every morning as we watch it come up. And even though sometimes we can't see it because of clouds, Lord, it's still there. And Lord, I thank you for that. And God, I pray that you help us this morning as we look at this thought of things that happen under the sun. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to have a proper viewpoint, a biblical viewpoint of the Christian life and what we are on earth here to do. And Father, I pray that you would be honored in everything that's done. I pray for those that are still driving in, Lord, I pray that they would just have safety and help the Sunday school classes that are going on right now. Help us as we go home. I pray that you give us safety on the way home. And Lord, I pray that something special would be done in the hearts of your people today. We give you praise and glory for everything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the sun is an amazing thing. I was thinking about it this week as we watch the sun come up and we watch the sun go down, and how God has engineered everything, engineered our universe, engineered our world. You know, you think about, you know, it's a blessing during the summer. You know, right now it's cold outside. But during the summer, you know, it's hot. You know, you'll have days, you know, upper 90s, even maybe possibly into the hundreds. In this area, it doesn't happen a lot. But aren't you glad that the sun goes down at night? And I'm glad that God doesn't just have us, you know, the way that God has us orbiting and everything. You know, we're like on a rotisserie, and God gives us hot days and cool days and hot days and cool days. And I'm glad that it's not just one day that it's sun. And, I'd like to go to Alaska, but I'm thankful I don't live there. I'm thankful that I have day, and I'm thankful I have night. I can sleep about anywhere, but I think I sleep a lot better when it's nighttime. And those third brother Val and third shift workers, I feel for you. But the sun is something very consistent. The sun is something that comes up. Look down at verse number 5, and we're going to go through and look at every place here in Ecclesiastes that has to do with the sun. It's amazing. Let's look at verse 5 first. The Bible says, the sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. You know, it's just a cycle. We talked about that last week. And we have that God has given to us on this earth, and it is a blessing. But Solomon, in his wisdom, remember Solomon's the wisest man that, you know, we have record of in the Bible. Solomon, in his wisdom, uses the analogy of under the sun, that statement, under the sun, many times. Many of the things that he talks about is perceived as a man would look at life with a human logic, with a very human logic. And if you think about what he's talking about is under the sun, that when you look at life under the sun without an eternal viewpoint, it is very much hopeless. It is very much in vain. You know, the things that we do, if we do them without an eternal viewpoint, is basically many of the things that Solomon's going to talk about is under the sun. You know, heaven is, you know, I don't know where heaven's at, okay? It's farther out there than the sun is, I guarantee that. So it's, but for Solomon, a lot of the things he talks about is his viewpoint, man's logical viewpoint of under the sun, not above the sun. You don't really hear him talk about above the sun. Most of what Ecclesiastes covers is his viewpoint of what happens under the sun. All right, so we're going to look at this, and I want you to really think about this because it is different. I wrote down, we as Christians do not live totally under the sun. Now, if you think about this, and the analogy is we live with an eternal viewpoint, okay? We live with something that is going to outlast us. Quite honestly, if the only thing that we lived for was the things that we do under the sun, I'm just going to be honest with you. Like I said last week, I wouldn't be here this morning. Why would I come out to church on a day like today if the only thing that I'm worried about is under the sun? Okay? I wouldn't be. I'm just being honest with you. As much as I would like, you know, maybe the fellowship and everything like that, it's not about under the sun. It's about an eternal viewpoint. What is different about what we believe? Honestly, what is different about other religious groups that live their lives by a set of morals? I'm not just talking about the Baptists, our denomination or whatever you want to call it. I'm also talking about, let's talk about whatever other religion you want to talk about. I mean, even cults, for the most part, live their lives with a viewpoint that's different than what is just under the sun, okay? That's why they do the things that they do, all right? Islam, all right? They don't do just things for under the sun. They believe that there's going to be an afterlife. They believe that there's something after that. So there is something past what is going to do here on earth that governs, and in very many ways, that governs our morality. Now, the problem is that humanism, which is the biggest religion in America today, humanism lives only under the sun. They live only under the sun. So to them, what we do and what we think in our philosophy of life, that does not make sense to them at all. Well, why are you doing that? That has no personal benefit to you. So they live their life in a very selfish, only what affects me. I've got 70 years here, and I'm going to live it up as much as I can while I've got it. Because there's nothing else after that. I'm just going to die, okay? And so that's the difference in their viewpoint. They live their life with a view to things beyond just as what is under the sun. So stay with me. We're going to go through Ecclesiastes. Now, some of these doesn't necessarily say under the sun, that statement. But we're going to look at every verse in Ecclesiastes that says sun, okay? And I've got them all here. So you're going to be in Ecclesiastes. So just we've looked at the ones in chapter number 1. Did we look at verse number 9? Okay, look down at verse number 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. You know, we just live in a repetitious life, okay? People say the only thing we learn from history is that we do not learn from history. And that's very, very true. Okay, you think America's bad, and, we've come into a terrible time in America. You know, this is nothing new. We've done it, we're doing it in a different, maybe perhaps in a different way, but go back 1,000 years to other countries that had freedoms that were being steadily taken away from them. And why did Christians come to America? Because of stuff that was going on in their countries, like it is in ours, okay? Sadly, we don't really have any other place to go. We don't. I mean, we've exhausted our earthly places that you can go for refuge. But, this is nothing new. The things that you think about Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, Brother Chad, the LGBT and that movement is overtaking America. We're not to Sodom and Gomorrah yet. they're not doing in America, at least as openly as what they did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? And there's other instances of that in the Bible. So just keep that in mind. We're in a cycle. There is no new thing under the sun. I told the young people not too long ago, I think I was preaching to them, you know, you folks in here have experienced the life that they're now experiencing. You may have forgot it, okay? It may not be fresh in your memory, but you knew what it was to be 17. Everyone in here knew what it was to be 17 at one point. You knew what it was to have those feelings that they have, okay? Now, you may, like I said, it may be distanced a little bit, but you still had them, all right? You still felt those same things, all right? It's just nothing is new under the sun. Look down at verse number 14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And I want you to keep in mind, Solomon, when he says under the sun, is strictly looking at man's works that affect things that happen under the sun, okay? So when he says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and all is vanity and vexation of spirit, okay? If that's all you're living for, then yes, it is empty. It's a vexation of spirit. Go to chapter number 2. We're going to look at verse number 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Look down at verse number 17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor, and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. Wow. A man that has learned everything, has seen it all. And he says, it's all vexation of spirit. It's all vanity. It's empty. It's empty. All right, so we have several verses there. Go to chapter 3. Look at verse number 16. And this is very true, especially in America. And moreover, I saw under the sun, the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. Very true. We've corrupted our places that ought to be the most, have the most justice, are full of corruption. Full of corruption. And that's what happens under the sun. Chapter 4, verse 1. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed. And it says something here. And they had no comforter. They had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power. But they had no comforter. They had no comforter. You know, Solomon very clearly points out, and I'm just commenting on some of these as we go. Solomon points out that it doesn't matter who you are. You know, you can be the one that is oppressed, and the same things happen to you as somebody that is the oppressor. All right? And we see that. We'll see that in several times. Behold, the tears, they had no comforter. They had power, but they had no comforter. This is what happens under the sun. Look down at verse number 3. Yea, better is he that than both they, which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Who is they? All right, look at verse 2. Wherefore I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. What does that mean? It means that your grandparents that are already in heaven are more blessed than your grandchildren that have to live with what's coming. That's what he's saying. Okay? And that's pretty true. All right? Look down at verse number 7. Then I returned and saw vanity under the sun. Now, you're going to have to just kind of read back and read the context of some of these. We don't have time to go through all of them to get them. But they're basically, they're repetitious of each other. Chapter 4, verse 15. Chapter 4, verse 15. I considered all the living which walk under the sun with the second child that shall stand up in his stead. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Look down at chapter 5, verse number 13. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof. How? To their hurt. To their hurt. All right, look at verse number 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Now, this is a positive thing, and we're going to talk about this here in just a minute. He's saying it's good. Hey, if you work, you're going to enjoy the fruit of your labor, and that's good. That's good. Basically, you know, we'll get to that in just a minute. All right, go down to chapter number 6. Chapter 6. Look at verse number 1. Chapter 6, verse 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. Doesn't matter how much you have, how much money you have in the world, if God takes the ability away from you to function, and you're stuck in a hospital bed, and you can't do anything with it, that's a vanity and vexation of spirit. And it happens. You know, we talk about, well, I've got this, and I've got this, and I've got this, and I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. And in one moment, God can say, no, you can't. And you live the rest of your life with all this stuff, and you can't even get out of bed. Vexation of spirit. Vanity and vexation of spirit. Look at verse number 5. Let's continue down. It makes more sense. Verse 3. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Just a van, you know, what does it amount to? What does it amount to? Verse 12. For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Chapter 7, verse 11. Wisdom is good, and with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Here's another good attribute, okay? Solomon's not full of everything negative. There are some good things here. Chapter 8, verse 9. All this have I seen, and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. Chapter 8, verse 15. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. Verse 16. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep, with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Look at chapter 9, verse number 3. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart, while they live, and after that they go to the dead. One thing happens to everyone. We all die. That's what he's saying. All right, chapter 9, verse number 6. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Look at verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Let's read verse 10. It kind of goes along. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Verse number 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Look, let's go ahead and read 12. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. Look at chapter 10, verse number 5. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in a low place. Look at chapter 11, verse number 7. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Amen. Amen, amen. Chapter 12, look at verse number 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. All right, so we see here, that's the last one, we see here several places, many places in Ecclesiastes that talks about things that happen under the sun. And for the most part, Ecclesiastes says, or Solomon said, you're wasting your life, honestly. And it's kind of depressing when you, man, all the stuff I do and it comes for naught, and all the things I get, I don't know if it's going to be a wise man that gets them or a foolish man. You don't know that. You know, well, I'm going to leave them to my kids. Well, that's good, but you don't know if your kids are going to be wise with it or foolish with it. You have no guarantee about that, okay? So ultimately, it's why is it important to live with life, as Pastor Ross said, with one eye on the judgment seat? Why is that so important? All right? First of all, why is it important to live versus living under the sun? You're either living with an eye on the judgment seat, or you're living with an eye for whatever you do under the sun. First of all, we have no control over what is coming after us on this earth. We have no control. Okay? One of the places here, it talked about you only basically have control over what you, at that moment. You don't have control over what's coming or who's coming or what will happen after you, all right? You don't know that all the money that you get will be squandered. The houses and the land will be sold. Everything that you do under the sun, honestly, except for what's done with eternity in mind, will stay under the sun. All right, so it's important that we realize we have no control over what is coming after us on this earth. Why is it important to live our life? Not just one or two things that we do, but it's a way of life. It allows us to lay up treasure where it can never be touched. You know, I can determine what happens to the things I do if I invested in the right thing. Okay? If I invested in the right thing. We'll go to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. And I'm going to get to a very practical thing. And this is practical. I'm not saying it's not practical, but something very, you're like, Brother Chad, all we got to, you know, then what good is the things that we do in life? I mean, at some point, you kind of get to this place, you get kind of discouraged in Ecclesiastes because why don't we just become hermits and, you know, if it's all for naught? Well, I'm going to show you something here that'll be encouragement to you. But why is it important to live life with one eye on the judgment seat? It allows us to lay up treasure where it can never be touched. Luke chapter number 12, starting at verse number 13, we have an interesting story that starts here. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now, right here is presented an issue. We have a problem right here. Okay, what is the problem? There's an inheritance and one of the brothers. So, going back to Ecclesiastes, remember what Solomon kept saying? You're going to get all this money, you're going to get all this stuff, and you're going to leave it to somebody. You're not taking it with you. And so we've got this, fast forward to Luke, we've got this inheritance. Something that a man has spent his whole life accumulating, and now it's left to his children. And there's an argument. We see here, there's an issue with this, okay? Because one of them wants to keep it all, and the other one says, I want part of it, okay? And so one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said something that's hilarious. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He's like, do I look like a judge to you? Okay? Now, I think that they were coming to him to try to, you know, use his God abilities to, you know, work in their behalf. And he said, that's not what I came to earth to do, basically. Okay? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now this goes right along with Ecclesiastes. Because if you would look at what Solomon said, he's basically saying the same thing. The things that you live for, your life doesn't consist of the things done under the sun. The things, as Jesus said, the things which you possess. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow all my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Isn't that interesting that he goes back and uses the man who comes to some point in his life and he says, all this is vanity. All this is vexation of spirit. And the flowers, they come up and they don't have to worry about where they're going to get their nourishment. They don't have to worry about, you know, the sun feeds them, the water feeds them. If then God's, verse 28, so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, Where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, I went to Brother Hamlin. I didn't stay for the whole thing. I went to Brother Hamlin's funeral or the viewing. And, you know, they probably don't have a lot in life. They probably got a house. I think they do have a house, but I think that somebody's churches went together with it. They may not even have that. I don't know, honestly. But, you know, he spent his life laying up treasures someplace else. It wasn't about the money. You know, I think probably Pastor Jerry Ross is a little different because he grew up there. But you know, when a man leaves a good paying job and spends his life in the ministry, he sacrifices some things, and he gives up certain things that he could have had. But is he really giving up things that he could have had? I mean, I don't have the quote in my mind, but one man said something about it's not a foolish man that gives up what he cannot keep in order to obtain something he cannot lose. You're not foolish for doing that. The world looks at us as foolish because, remember, their mindset is what's under the sun. How does this benefit me? How does this benefit my posterity? And it is. We've been infected by that mindset. Even as Christians, we've been infected by that. But why is it important to live life with one eye on the judgment seat instead of looking just under the sun? First of all, we have no control over what is coming after us on earth. Therefore, it allows us to lay up treasure where it can never be touched. Let me say this. It allows us to enjoy the life that we have and not be concerned with the next thing. It allows us to enjoy life that we have and not be concerned with the next thing. You know, Solomon had everything. If Solomon wanted it, and we'll see that later on when we look at this in the life of Solomon. If he wanted it, he even says, if I desired it, I gave it to myself. I bought myself presents all the time. And he said that. If I wanted it, I went and got it. Now, most of us are like, man, that would be nice. I've got a list, you know. But Solomon, at the end of all that, the man that did have everything didn't have everything. And Pastor taught through Song of Solomon. And I honestly, I'm just going to tell you this. I've always kind of avoided Song of Solomon just because I was like, I have no clue what that means. But he taught through Song of Solomon, and he said it was interesting, and I didn't know this, but that basically is a story about how Solomon wanted a certain woman, but that woman didn't want him. And how all that woman really wanted was a shepherd boy that she had seen someplace. And I thought, you know, isn't that crazy that Solomon had 700 or so, whatever he had, 1,000 altogether, and he couldn't have the one that he really wanted because she wanted something that wasn't even comparable. I got all this to offer you, and you want a shepherd? Yeah, that's what she wants. But I guarantee that probably if those two got together, they lived a more happy, more content life than Solomon ever thought about living. Okay? Made me think about that. But it allows us to enjoy the life that we have and not be concerned with the next big thing. You know, a lot of people, we miss out on time with our family because we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, if you would. We're trying to get the next thing that we want under the sun. If you think about it like, well, I'm just going to lose that anyway, but my kids are going to go past me. It goes back to that next generation thing. Go back to Ecclesiastes. We're in Luke. Go back to Ecclesiastes. In several places in Ecclesiastes, the Bible talks about, Solomon talks about enjoying the life that you have. He's very emphatic about that. We read at least 3 verses he said about enjoying the life that you have. And I'm not saying you have to, and that's where I was saying earlier, you don't have to come to earth, you know, come to earth. Sounds like you're aliens.
Welcome.
You don't have to be here on earth and not enjoy life. I'm not saying that at all. You know, I think we do an injustice to our young people when it's, well, it's just such a sacrifice to serve God. Not really. Not really. I'm just being honest with you. And God, I think God's blessed me beyond measure, okay? But it's not a thing that I look at, well, the grass is greener. I had a guy offer me, he's offered me so many times, you know. He asked me again this week, I was talking to him. He's like, everything's still going okay at church? Are you still happy there? I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I be? I said, and I told him this. I said, if I came work for you, you know what I get? A paycheck. You know what I get working at church? A whole bunch more. Yeah, I get a paycheck. That's nice. But there's a whole lot more than just a paycheck. And if you can get that in your mind, it helps eliminate a lot of problems. Because it's not all about the next best thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I told you to go there, and I'm not there yet. Look at verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. So he's still stuck on this vanity thing. You're wasting your life, but you might as well enjoy it while you're wasting it. And that's, I mean, but you know what he's saying? Hey, live joyfully with your family, with your wife. Enjoy that time, okay? You've got, you know, enjoy everything that comes with that relationship, all right? And yeah, you're going to have bad times, but enjoy getting through those bad times, all right? It's not about everything else. Let's keep reading. Which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Enjoy life. Enjoy life. Like I said earlier, we do a disservice to our young people when it's, you know, everybody's moping about being a Christian. Why would these young people want to be a Christian if it's, well, it's just such a hard life? I don't think I'm encouraging them if I'm like, well, it's just so hard serving God. Okay? I'm not. I'm not encouraging them to do that. So enjoy the life that you have. Don't be concerned about the next thing. Because what happens when people are concerned about, well, I got to get this? Then they got a, you know, they got another payment book. And then to pay what they've got in that payment book, they got to go get another job. So because they wanted something else, they have to spend more time working. And they honestly don't even get to enjoy what they just bought because they're spending so much time working. All these people that buy these, all these books. Listen, I've got things. I've got, some people call them toys or tools. Okay? I work with them. And I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But some people buy these huge yachts and boats, and they work tons and tons of overtime to go out one weekend a year. It's like, really? Are you enjoying life because of that? Oh, we enjoyed the weekend. Great. What about every other week that you had to work tons of extra just to pay for that one thing? It allows us to enjoy the life that we have and not be concerned with the next thing. Spend time with the family. Enjoy your family. Enjoy what you do. This is big. This is big. A lot of people, they go to work and they don't enjoy what they do. I've never had a problem with work. I enjoy work. But you know, one reason is because I enjoy what I do. If you have to go to work and it's a drudgery, I would rather get paid less to do something I like to do than get paid more and it be a drudgery. And that's what Solomon says too. You ought to just enjoy it, okay? Enjoy what you do. Enjoy the recreation time. Well, Brother Chad, I thought, listen, if you're going to be here, enjoy the time that you're here. And that's part of living a balanced life. When it's time to be at church, be 100% at church. When it's time to be at family, be 100% with family. When it's time to go out and play, go out and play, okay? I don't think God looks down and says, well, that's just, you know, they're being too strict, they're laughing too much. There's a verse that we just read about a merry heart. About a merry heart. He said, there's nothing better in life than to be happy. That's pretty good advice. If you're not happy with what you're doing, why are we doing it? Number four, and this last thing, there's a sense of satisfaction that not everything that I do is for nothing. I was talking to that guy I referenced a while ago, and I said, you know, I can work for you and I can get a paycheck, or I can work at the church and I know that I'm investing in something that I'll never be able to see, but I know that if the stock market crashes, it doesn't affect it. If corn and soybean prices plummet, doesn't affect it. If cattle, you know, if there's some kind of disease in the cattle and all your cows die, doesn't affect it, because I'm laying up treasure in heaven. There's a sense of satisfaction that not everything, you know, midlife crisis, I think for a lot of people, and I've mentioned this before, is when people get to the middle of their life and they're like, man, I've done nothing with my life. And so they have to go do all these things, change things to make it feel like they've done something. I am doing something. We are doing something as a Christian if you're investing in the next generations. Under the sun. Let's not live our life totally under the sun. Let's live our life with one eye on the judgment seat. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Pray that you'd bless the services to follow. I pray that we would live our life with an eternal viewpoint, not a very temporal viewpoint. In Jesus' name, amen.